Time is 9 a.m. Friday, April 2nd, 2010. With me today is Co-Chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, Senator Egan, myself, Stedman. We have five bills on the agenda today. We're going to start with Senate Bill 117, Price of Cigarettes, Senate Bill 234, Extend Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, Senate Bill 239, Ignition Interlock Devices, DUI Chemical Tests, Senate Bill 243, No Royalty on Geothermal Resources, Senate Bill 264, Commercial Fishing and Agricultural Bank. The Department of Natural Resource presentation on the AGEA regulations has been canceled, and we'll bring that back next week. The department personnel, you know, it's the time of year where colds and other things are running around. So we'll give that back, but it's an important issue, and we'll bring it back hopefully next week before the committee. We're going to start today's labor with Senate Bill 117 by Senator McGuire regarding the price of cigarettes. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it on March 29th. The intent today is to bring back the bill before the committee and give the committee members an opportunity to address additional concerns and look to the will of the committee. And we have representation from Senator McGuire's office. Do members have any additional questions for Senator McGuire's staff on Bill 117? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have there been any opposition since it's now come to the forefront on this bill and the vendors that are out there, either wholesale or retail? Any opposition to it?
So far, there has been no opposition. I think before, when we had the original bill, the percentage was a lot higher, and so there was some opposition to that. But so after we reached a compromise, there has been no.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We have been joined by Senator Ellis and Senator Thomas. There is 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Revenue. We've had public testimony previously. Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for Senate Bill 170, Labor and Commerce, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Yeah, we have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Do we have objection with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes? Seeing no objection, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Next item up, Senate Bill 234 by Senator Meyer, extending the termination date of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it March 26th. The intent today is to adopt a committee substitute, take additional comments from members, and move look to the committee for their will. Senator Hoffman, we have a motion to adopt committee substitute version E.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 234 Finance /E as our working document.
And I will object for explanation and ask Mr. Peterson from my staff to come forward and walk us through the changes in the CS, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Darwin Peterson, staff to Senator Stedman. In the packets, the members should have the Finance Committee substitute version E, dated March 31st, 2010. Changes in the committee substitute, Mr. Chairman. The first change is on section one, dealing with the quorum for the board. Previously, the executive director was allowed to vote in the board in order to break a tie. That has been removed from statute, so the executive director can no longer vote. Second change, Mr. Chairman, is in section two, dealing with the statewide database. The board creates and maintains a statewide database on liquor purchased and shipped to rural parts of the state. Information in that database is available to package store licensees, law enforcement, probation officers, the board. And the change, Mr. Chairman, is found on page 2, line 19 through 21, where now the person who is the subject of the information is also has access to that information. The third and final change, Mr. Chairman, is found on page 2, line 25, section 4. We're repealing two sections of statute. These two sections of statute are in the alcohol title, which allows minors to access a premises if they're with a law enforcement officer. So the board would no longer be able to use minors for that type of activity. That concludes the changes, Mr. Chairman.
We have any questions on the changes in the CS Senator?
Olson.
Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Initially, the executive director was given the opportunity to go ahead and vote because you only have a five-member board there. What are the plans if there is, for some reason, one member can't make it and there is a 2-2 split?
They would, to the chair, Senator Olson, they would have to wait till they have a quorum. The executive director would no longer be allowed to vote. And in the previous hearing, the executive director testified that she thought that that was unnecessary and that she supported this change.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not asking whether you make a quorum or not. I'm asking what the mechanism to rectify a split vote 2-2. What's the plan for it if the executive director can't break the tie?
The issue before the board would not pass if it was a tie vote, so they would have to wait till there was five members.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a proposed change here in this committee substitute that would, it sounds to me, if I'm understanding it correctly, would take away one of the primary tools for enforcement of the state law relating to selling to underage Alaskans. So what's the rationale behind tying the ABC's board's hands in this way? Was this a recommendation of folks that have reviewed this, or where did this idea come from?
Through the chair, Senator Ellis. In the previous hearing, the chairman had testified that he felt that it was unfair for the board to use minors when the owner of the premises and the employees are the ones who are at complete risk, and the minor, which under all other statutes in the state of Alaska, minors are not allowed to access those premises without an adult or a spouse who is an adult of legal age. So it was the chairman's decision to remove those sections from statute so that that inconsistency was no longer in place and that the premises don't have to worry about underage drinkers being sting operations with police officers. So now it's up to the owner of the bar and the bartenders to card everyone who looks underage, but it's they will no longer be guilty of any wrongdoing if the person is an underage drinker working with law enforcement.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So has law enforcement expressed an opinion about this?
We've not asked the law enforcement agency how they feel about this through the chair, Senator Ellis.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, it seems like that would be a good thing to do.
And we have any other questions on adoption of the CS? I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Senator Ellis.
I'll object. I'm not confident that that change is the right way to go, so I'll object to adoption.
Okay. We have an objection to the adoption of the CS. Clerk, want to call a roll? We have
Mr.
any
Chairman.
Further discussion on that? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having run a business and having been always afraid of the authorities and them coming on my premises without me knowing, and the sting operations, even though I wasn't in the alcohol business, I was more in the air taxi business, I just had to look over my shoulder all the time to see if there was something I wasn't doing wrong, and it just added to the aggravation and the stress of being a small business owner. So I fully identify with what some of these establishments are going through, I come from a village where the abuse of alcohol certainly is prevalent, even though it's a dry community. I think that the stress that's put on the small businessmen is there, and so because of that, I am in favor of the CS that's been objected, the portion of the CS that's been objected to.
Questions on the CS? Clerk, do you want to call a roll?
There's another question.
Hold it.
Johnny had another question.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, I may wind up agreeing with Senator Olson on the CS, but I don't think we've done our homework in inquiring of all the parties involved, including law enforcement, to know if this is the right policy call to make. So that's the basis of my opposition.
I understand. What we have in front of us is the adoption of the CS, and then I think we'll take a look at dealing with other issues as we go forward.
Senator Egan?
Yes.
Senator Ellis?
No.
Senator Huggins?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Thomas?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Stitt?
Yes, and we'll go ahead and so we have adopted version E. We're going to go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. We'll go on to the next bill, which is Senate Bill 3. Excuse me, Bill Number 3 today. Senate Bill 239 by Senator Meyer regarding ignition interlock devices. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time March 29th. The intent today is to bring back before the committee so we can take a look at additional comments and look at the will of the committee. And do we have any further questions on this bill? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I had, and I was going to ask it the other day, if in fact someone helped someone start their car, the car will only run a certain period of time before it has to be restarted. Is that the type of interlocks these are?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I thought so.
Any other questions on the bill? We've had our public hearing previously. We've got 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Law and the Department of Administration. Do we have any final questions? Final comments on the bill from the bill sponsor? And we have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for Senate Bill 239 Judiciary with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Senate Bill, or now we'll take up Senate Bill 243 by Senator McGuire regarding the royalty rate on geothermal resources. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time on March 29th. The intent today is to adopt a committee substitute. Take any additional comments or concerns and look to the will of the committee. Senator Hoffman, may have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 243 /S as a working document.
I'll object to the adoption. If we can have support staff from Senator McGuire walk us through the CS changes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mike Pawlowski, and I'm an aide to Senator McGuire. The committee substitute S version adopts and attempts to remedy changes that I think the committee rightly identified in the previous hearing on the bill, and that is that geothermal resource, while it is renewable, is also subject to waste. The CS before you attempts to delineate the responsibility for the regulation of geothermal resources between the Department of Natural Resources and the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. The Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission in the CS is governed, charged with regulating the drilling and exploration for geothermal resources and the waste of geothermal resources. The Department of Natural Resources is charged with regulating unitization and land management matters. This is similar to the structure we have for oil and gas development in the state. And Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to walk through the sectional for the committee.
Good.
Section 1 of the S version amends AS3105030, clarifying that the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission has the jurisdiction over the exploration and development of geothermal resources. This is outside of the land management issue. Section 2 on page 1, going through page 2, is from the previous version of the bill, and this is the amendment to the royalty rate to adopt the federal rate. Section 3 delineates the jurisdiction over geothermal resources, again, between the AOGCC and Department of Natural Resources, just stating clearly within Title 4106 how the jurisdictions are divided. Section 4 allows the commission to actually investigate the waste of geothermal resources. Under current statute, while waste is prohibited, there was no provision allowing for the commission to actually investigate the waste. So that has been added in there. Section 5 repeals and reenacts the Title 4106-020 to set out the jurisdiction of AOGCC over all land within the state, and similarly on federal land, unless it's regulated by the federal government. Section 6 clarifies under 4106030 that a plan of development must be filed with the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Section 8 is conforming changes to the Section 7 changes. Section 10 adds a new section allowing the AOGCC to issue orders and impose requirements to again prevent the waste and to protect correlative rights on any geothermal resource operation. This section particularly allows AOGCC to adopt regulations. Section 11 reenacts AS4106040, governing the authority of AOGCC to adopt regulations particularly related to the safety of geothermal resources. In that geothermal exploration involves drilling on land where there might be hydrocarbons intercepted on the drilling for geothermal. This section is particularly important to protect the public safety. Section 13, Mr. Chairman, requires notification of the AOGCC rather than DNR if geothermal exploration actually encounters hydrocarbons or fissionable materials. This will ensure that the public, that the regulators know, and that the public can therefore be protected. Section 14 replaces the commissioner of DNR with AOGCC for the purposes of authorizing inspection. Section 15 governs the AOGCC permitting process for geothermal exploration and development drilling. Section 16 amends AS4106 by adding a new section authorizing regulatory cost charges. So if AOGCC is going to regulate the development, drilling, and exploration for geothermal resources, then the application of the regulatory cost charge to support those activities is appropriate. Section 17 provides definitions for geothermal drilling, and all the associated definitions necessary for the statute. Section 18 governs lease operations under approved plans of development. Section 19 is the section from the previous bill allowing for the transition of royalty authority for pre-existing leases. This was in the original bill. Section 20 is transition language to allow for the regulatory environment transfer between DNR and the AOGCC. Section 21 is directions to the reviser of statutes. And Section 22 and 23, Mr. Chairman, are effective dates. We have asked, Mr. Chairman, the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission chairman to be available if their committee has any questions.
Understand that. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of version S. Do we have any further objection to version S? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and object. We'll go ahead and adopt version S as our working document. Do we have any further questions? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the sponsor's representative. I'm assuming that what we're doing here is common practice, Mr. Chairman, across the country when we're trying to bring on new sources of energy, and it's my opinion that geothermal is one of the futures of our portfolio of energy, which will hopefully will be affordable and abundant going forward. But if that's not correct, please help me out.
Senator Huggins, through the chair, you're absolutely correct, and that's the intent of the CS, is to adopt a modern regulatory framework for geothermal exploration and development.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I think you want to touch on just or elaborate a little bit on the percentages for those that haven't seen this bill previously, the 1.75% lease fee, and then after 10 years, and then what compared to where it is currently in statute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The royalty rate in current statute is anywhere between 10% and 15% of the gross electricity sales. The Commissioner of Natural Resources has the ability to reduce that. However, in that geothermal energy is not exportable, that it has to be sold locally, that simply adds cost to the local consumers. Therefore, to make Alaska competitive for the development of geothermal resources, we adopted the federal rate in the committee substitute of 1.75% on gross electricity sales for the first 10 years. Then that rate steps up to a 3.5% of the gross sales for the following 10 years. Per the committee's previous request, our office submitted an explanation of what the annual rate how that would look under a specific project with assumptions to the committee.
Okay, thank you. We have any further questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for Senate Bill 243 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
And if I could just back up for a minute, there are three zero fiscal notes from the Department of Revenue, the Department of Natural Resources, and the Department of So we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached three fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Our last piece of work today is Senate Bill 264 by Senator Coghill regarding the Commercial Fishing and Agricultural Bank. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it on March 26th. The intent today is to bring the bill back to the committee so members may ask additional questions or make comments and then look to the will of the committee. Do we have any questions or concerns that we want to put on the table for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, we've had previously public testimony. We've got one fiscal note for $10,600 in CFAB receipts to cover the cost of examination, travel, and per diem. And we've had our public testimony previously. Seeing no further questions, Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out Senate Bill 264 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral. Our next meeting, although it was scheduled for tomorrow, we're not going to have a Saturday meeting. Monday, April 5th, 9 a.m., we'll have four bills on the agenda. Senate Bill 312, Passenger Vessel Tax. Senate Bill 301, Power Project Fund. Senate Bill 220, Energy Efficiency Alternative Energy. Senate Bill 287, In-State Gas Pipeline. So the next scheduled meeting tomorrow again is canceled. We are in the process of working up the committee substitute on the energy bill, Senate Bill 220. So just as a heads up to make sure that, you know, even though it's Easter weekend, the committee staff still pay attention to the construction and molding of the CS. So, you know, we get all our bases covered because there's a lot of complexities within that bill. A meeting adjourned.